Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the Obstetric Call on the 16th of July 2012. On the call today we have Olivier Crépin-Leblond, Jim Galvin, Mikey O'Connor. From staff we have Julie Headland, Bart Buswinkle, and myself, Natalie Peregrine. I would like to remind all participants to please state your names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you, Mikey.
Thanks, Natalie, and welcome to our Monday call, as Christina is on the West Coast today. There's an agenda up there that I put, maybe 2 minutes of thought into in the Adobe room. Olivier, since you're probably not on Adobe, I'll just read it real quick. I thought we could talk for a few minutes about our impressions from Prague, spend some time thinking about scope and approach going forward. This is kind of in response to Jim's note, but sort of a broad topic, I think, would be in order. Any thoughts about what we want to try on Thursday for the all-DSSA meeting? I stuck something on there mostly as a reminder to me, anyway. I need to circle back to the GNSO and sort of do a refresh on our participants, because I've gotten notes from several folks who have to drop off because they've gotten new jobs and stuff like that. Then my plaintive little note about redistributing some of the work amongst the ops team, and then any other business catch-all. Is there anything that's on people's minds that they'd like to add to that? Okay. Well, let's just spend, 10 minutes talking about Prague, what we thought happened there, lessons learned, et cetera, et cetera. Anybody got any strong impressions, either positive or negative, as to what happened in the Prague meeting? Don't all speak at once.
Well, this is Jim. I'll just say that my impressions really are more appropriate for the discussion that's next on the agenda.
Oh, okay.
So,
all right. Well,
we'll just hold on to that for the moment.
Okay. I think, that's certainly one of the things that was going on a lot for me was socializing our one-pager. I gave away a lot of copies of that, and talked to a bunch of folks about it, and I got some scope approach feedback as well. Other than that, I got pretty much nothing but positive feedback, but that's probably because they didn't want to say.
Mikey, it's Olivier. Can I jump in on this?
Go ahead.
I'll try and be on the conference in a few moments when I managed to find some Wi-Fi somewhere. I was just going to say, I think I agree with you. The one-pager was a real help for a lot of people. I know that in the at-large, and the ALAC and all of our delegates, everyone took that piece of paper home, and there's still some discussion on it. And certainly, I think it's probably one of the first times they actually started to understand what we were doing. So that's certainly one good step forward. I've had a couple of people asking whether they could get involved rather than having more people get involved. I think I told them first, learn about what's been done and see where you can chime in, or perhaps as a first step, if we have any statements to make on the work that's being done, work on a statement before volunteering to come in the working group as well. Nothing worse than having more people, but more people not doing anything. So that's my takeaway from the session over at Prague.
Yeah, there's the, I've been sort of whining about this in every forum I can think of. There's really a need for a way to get people involved as observers in working groups, especially in the GNSO. It would be so nice if there was a read-only subscription to the email lists, for example, because a lot of people just want to stay tuned in. They don't want to necessarily do a lot of work. They just want to keep up to date on what's going on. And the only way to do that right now is through this really clunky web-based thing. There's no way to do a push to you so that you can just get the stuff in your inbox. And I just haven't found the right button to push on that yet. But I'm going to keep whining on that topic for sure.
Hey, Mikey, it's Patrick. I'm able to join now.
Hey, Patrick, welcome to the gang. I'm glad you could join us. I hope it doesn't, if it totally wrecks your morning, if you were doing something else, it's no big deal. Or if it does and you want to just give us a quick update on the board stuff and then drop off, that's fine. But
No, I just had a lot of traffic to deal with, so that's done.
Ah, good deal. Okay. Well, we're just sort of running through impressions from Prague, kind of an informal open thing. And then right after that, we're going to go into sort of the scope approach going forward thing. And so Jim sort of saved his thing up. I think that that's probably the most interesting topic for us. So unless there's anything else that people really have as general comments about Prague, why don't we just roll on ahead into that and dig in? Because, you know, we are at this inflection point. We are kind of unfrozen right now. This is a good time in the course of the DSSA to sort of step back, take a look at what we're doing, so on and so forth. So why don't we roll on into that? Jim, do you want to kick us off on that one?
Sure. So this is Jim Galvin. Leading up to the Prague meeting, I was thinking a lot about this DSSA working group. I mean, we produced this document. We put it out there looking for comments. We did a bit of a road show. You know, we had our public meeting, you know, talking about where we are. And I've been thinking about, you know, what the next steps are and going forward, because we've been talking about, you know, the next big thing is we have these five risk areas, if you will, and we're thinking, okay, I guess the logical next step would be to pick one of these and go down in depth, and we would call that our final success, because we would have shown what we can do and, you know, what the right way to do it is, and then, you know, leave it as future work for some other group to pick up the other four. At least that's where I believe we've gotten ourselves to up to this point. Let me just check if anyone wants to disagree with that before I jump into where I want to go.
I would. I was thinking that we would do one to kind of iron the kinks out of what we're doing. But that we weren't really done until we did all five somehow. Now, we built a little wiggle room into the report to be able to weasel out of that if we went under without a trace. But at least my impression was that we would eventually cover them all. So, you know, we can circle back to that. I mean, you know, I don't have
No, that's fine. Yeah, no, that's fine. So maybe, you know, I'm okay with that. I'll just, you know, amend what I said to say that we would do all five. But I think that's actually a nice segue into kind of where I was going in any case. I think that there's actually a fair amount of work to be done in doing these five risk areas. And then I just got to thinking to myself, you know, where are we? And what really is our current status? So even reaching forward a little bit in our agenda here, where we talk about refreshing, you know, constituency participants, I was looking around at our group and thinking about recent meetings and realizing that, you know, the interest in this work is kind of waning. There's a, you know, a fairly consistent core set of people who seem to be hanging out, with a few people who come and go a little bit. But considering the number of people who are supposed to be part of this working group, as compared to the number doing the work, you know, it just feels like we're at a nice little crossroads here. We're at a sort of a convenient point to reevaluate, you know, what would be the right way to get future work done. I think that the landscape in which we exist today is a little bit different than it was 2 years ago. I think we can agree that for the most part, this group came into existence, well, maybe not for the most part, but at least in part because of all of the activity surrounding the DNS cert and the desire to really understand what the status of the DNS was, the operation of the DNS and what it was really like. So, you know, and I think that we've done a lot of really good work here in sort of taking a look at this DNS risk area and identifying these five areas. We also have this board committee looking at DNS risk now. So you take all of these things together, sort of the reason why we came into existence itself doesn't seem to be a front runner. We have a new board DNS risk committee, which is sort of looking at this whole space in an overarching way. We've come to a nice stopping point in some ways. We're at a break point, not a stopping point, we're at a break point. And in general, I think the attention that people have to the DNS is different now than it was 2 years ago. And it occurred to me that we could actually, this is a point in time when we could take our document that we have now, we could use this document as an opportunity to declare success, and we could say to ourselves, you know, we've done a really good thing here. Why don't we take a step back and say that, you know, we want to declare that this is the stopping point, and we want to make these five risk areas and the study of these five areas as future work, and allow ourselves to refresh our set of constituency participants and maybe even find different people who would participate in each of those so that maybe we would get better participation and more interest and give us the opportunity to do a better job in these five areas. So we could take this opportunity at this particular inflection point and declare success with this document that we have. We could continue long enough to make sure we've got a solid document. So, I mean, we put it out there for comment. You know, we should finish out what we have and fill it out and all of that. There's obviously, I mean, if we were to go down this path, there'd be some process to work through to make it all a valid action. But we could specifically recommend that these five risk areas be work that's picked up. We should create new working groups for them. We could either do five parallel groups, or we could propose kind of the path that we're already headed down here, which is do one and then do the other four. So, you know, maybe somebody has to go first, and then you could do the other four in parallel. But allow a different set of people to come in and sort of turn over the staff, if you will. So sort of reshape our work, take advantage of the success we've had so far, and, you know, press on, let other people press on in the particular risk areas. Anyway, I guess that's as much. Let me stop there and get some reactions from people. I've talked to a few people about this while in Prague, so I know it's not news to everybody, but at least a few people are hearing this for the first time. So let me pause here.
Okay. That sounds good. Any thoughts, reactions? I think, you know, at this point, this is a flat call. This is staff and co-chairs all on an equal footing. Olivier, are you at a place where you can talk at this point, or is this a bad spot?
It's Olivier here. It's a pretty bad spot at the moment. Sorry, okay. I'm faced with problems with going through gates and stuff.
Yeah.
And
okay.
You haven't gone through the X-ray machine yet, but you will in a moment.
Okay. Well, jump
so,
in when you come back
I'll
up for
air. I'll jump in right. When I'm on the other side, I'll jump in.
Okay. Sounds great.
Mikey, let me... this is Patrick. Maybe I can add to
what you're
saying. So I would agree with Jim, and now that we're going to be posting today this RFP for the DNS risk management framework consultant, that there's enough there with the report that the GSSA delivered for Prague that it's a good starting or a good, I guess, pause point to see where this DNS risk management framework is going to go and the inputs that will be needed. And I'm certain that whoever the consultant is that we end up getting to assist with this work is going to need to talk to various people in the community. And so I would assume that they would be coming back to this group and certainly to others who are active in the DSSA as they collect information. So, I would just agree with Jim. and I'd be interested to hear what others have to say about it.
Anybody else want to chime in? Bart, you're fairly close to Chris on this. What do you think?
Say, I haven't discussed this with Chris at all, but say, just from another point of view, I tend to agree with Jim and Patrick, and maybe add one thing. What happened during Prague, it has nothing to do with the DSSA. Within the CCNSO, you have what is called a strategic and operational planning working group. What it does, it looks into ICANN's strategic plan and operating plan and budget. So this is just background. But so we had a discussion in Prague on ICANN's ops plan with the CFO and others. And one of the comments made is that, say, if you look at the ops plan and some other initiatives, is that you, for instance, see this is SSR bids, say, from Patrick's department. At the same time, what you see, you got three or four different groups working on the same topic. So, first of all, we got the DSSA. Secondly, we got, say, it's a bit overlapping what the SSRT was doing, and now what is been done by the, say, the Board Risk Framework Committee. And I think, say, to avoid that, say, there is, say, the overlap is making stuff really complicated, it is... as Jim said, a very natural point in time to declare success on what we've been doing as a DSSA, and we as ICANN staff and all the volunteers, and especially you, and see what is necessary afterwards, what needs to be done, and sort out say future work to avoid overlap, say, in a broader context, and I see this not just with the DSSA, but also in other working groups, there is a bit of burnout on the part of volunteers right now. And if we keep continuing moving ahead, some people will be very inclined to work on DSSA, but they will not be available for others, and it will be dependent on a very limited, small group of people. And I think at the end of the day, you need to avoid that it's becoming a kind of niche market. So that's my two cents. So I agree with Jim in general.
Yeah, it certainly would not break my heart to stop and take this pause. I think one of the observations that I have is that the nature of the work changes at this inflection point. It changes from being a pretty process-oriented thing. You know, we basically spent 2 years building that giant edifice that's in the report, and most of that edifice is methods to do stuff. We didn't spend, you know, if you take a look at the proportion of time that we spent a relatively small proportion actually analyzing risks to the DNS. And during that 2 years, as you've all pointed out, other things have happened. The SSR and the Board Risk Committee, the DNS Risk Committee. And I agree that we don't want to just I don't want to say mindlessly, but it's too early to come up with another word, mindlessly just
churn ahead because that's our original course. At the same time, the one thing I would hate to see is we here's the scenario. So let me paint a scenario and let's figure out a way we can avoid it. We step back. We say all this stuff that we've just been saying, which I don't disagree with at all. Then the DSS, the Board Risk Management Committee consultant and the work coming out of the SSRRT goes off the rails. And there's no way to pick up the reins of the DSSA because we've disbanded it. Now, I think what I heard in Jim's approach was this notion that we declare those five areas as future work, but who do we declare it as future work for? Do we put the DSSA in a hold state and say, we, the community, cross-community working group, want to join the gang that's trying to sort out the future work to avoid overlap, and we sort of reserve the right to restart once that overlapping has been worked out? Or do we, how do we handle that? I think if we can handle that, I'd be pretty comfy. Any ideas on that? Jim, you have probably thought about this more than most. Did you have a scenario in mind for how that might play out?
I'll offer a suggestion. I mean, I'll admit that I hadn't thought about that particular concern, but just to make sure I understand your concern, you're specifically saying we recommend these things for future work, and you're wondering, well, who takes up the baton in making sure that the future work happens?
Yeah.
So is that your question?
Yeah.
I think my reaction is that that's just an ordinary part of business. It isn't immediately obvious to me that we need to assign it per se. I think that the groups that chartered this working group, we make a recommendation back to these groups that chartered this group that they should take these action items on board as continuing work, and they should, you know, reevaluate in a new context, you know, meaning the circumstances of today, what they want to do going forward. I mean, I think that's one option. We could always, as a second option, and I consider both of these sort of ordinary business. There may be process reasons or other rules that make one better than the other, so I'm not trying to put any particular bias on this. But, you know, we published this final report, and each of the constituencies, I mean, they're going to jointly in some way, this report is going to be submitted up to the board for review, right? Isn't that an ultimate home for it? So you make a recommendation that the board, you know, direct the staff to facilitate this future work if it decides it wants to continue it. But those are my two suggestions. In essence, the real thing that I'm trying to get at with both of the suggestions is just that I think this is just ordinary work. It's not immediately obvious to me that we need any special considerations here. So that's my thought.
So, you know, I think what we may need to do is check back with our charterers, especially Chris, I think. Because, you know, if we run back to our charter, I'm running a new computer, and I'm kind of fearful of flipping my screens around a lot because I've discovered that it breaks Adobe Connect in unusual ways that I don't understand quite yet. But, you know, our charter was to actually go out and do a risk assessment and identify gaps, and if there were any big gaps, recommend things to do about those. Now, we did a bunch of work. We sort of had to build our airplane in flight. And so we did a lot of work to build that airplane, but we haven't actually done the work that we were chartered to do. In the meantime, a bunch of other things have come up, and one of the interesting distinctions to make is between the work that the board committee is chartering, which is risks to the DNS, to the DNS in the ICANN corporate context, whereas our charter is risks to the DNS in a broader sense. And it, you know, I'm guessing that if we don't paint a clear picture as to how this work actually gets completed, that we're going to get a grumpy response, at least from Chris, and maybe others. That's part of the reason I kind of singled you out, Bart, because I wasn't sure whether this came up in Prague and whether the two of you, I know that you guys spend a bit more time together than I do with Chris.
No, it didn't come up, and I doubt it, say, whether he will be grumpy. I think that there is another element here which is probably very important, or not important, but I consider important. Julia and Patrick and I have been discussing this, say, very early in the process. So what is the interesting thing about the DSSA is, in fact, two things. It is probably the first time you had a real cross-constituency working group moving forward, say, with all the SOs and ACs, with the exception of RSEC, involved one way or the other. So that's a good thing as well to keep in mind. So we got, and secondly, it was started by all the SOs and ACs. So it shows there is a mechanism to move forward, and it was formed at a time when there was real pressure on say, the DNS cert as a reaction to DNS cert. And the way, and going back to the time when the charter was drafted, say, your concern, Mikey, if you look at the way it's drafted, it was drafted in almost a different era. Say, we didn't have the risk committee, we didn't have the SSRT, etc. There was a lot of pressure on it, and it was done not really taking into account and not really knowing what we were talking about, or what the DSSA should really look into. And that's what we, say, the DSSA learned over time. Because in hindsight, if you look at the charter, say, on especially on the scope of the working group, I think it's not very well formulated.
These are some thoughts, and
knowing, say, just explaining this to the whole, to everybody, including Chris, or first with Chris and the other, say, Cheryl, and who was involved, and Chuck was involved as well,
yeah,
explaining this to them and saying, look, this is what we've encountered. The circumstances have changed.
Yeah, I think rather than trying to channel Chris and Chuck and Cheryl, we should probably
you go back to the SOs and ACs.
Yeah, well, and I think we go back to the charterers as individuals as well. There is sort of a personal context here that I think we need to check on.
But then you talk about the same people. Say the driving forces behind the charter drafting were Cheryl, Chuck, Chris, Julie, and myself.
Right. So, what if we start
What if we started by checking with that group and then go to the ACs and SOs? You know, getting the attention of the GNSO right now is hard to do just because of so much, you know, all the other stuff that's going on. And so just, you know, going, leaving myself in action to go back to the GNSO is scary for me because basically that means going back to the council. That's a pretty big group. It's not terribly focused on this. I couldn't even get on their agenda to update them in Prague. I mean, that's how unfocused on this they are. And so I'm a little edgy about going back to the, at least to the GNSO, without a sense from that smaller group of people that actually chartered this thing.
Hey, Mikey, I have one suggestion that might be helpful here is, you know, if you're going to reach back to the small group of charterers, so Chuck Sherrill, Chris, I don't know who else you want to include in that. It probably wouldn't be a bad idea to include, well, Jim, you can see if you think Patrick Hallstrom would be a good person to include on this short list and let them know what the thinking of the group is right now. And then after you've had a chance to reach to them, send a note to the various SOs and ACs that approve the charters for the DSSA, suggesting that they endorse a pause or endorse some kind of, whatever you want to come up with, but send a note to the charters first and let them know, here's where we are, this is what we're thinking of doing, and then send a joint note to the SOs and ACs that approve the charter.
That works fine for me.
Yeah, so this is Jim. I'll me offer two comments, one in response to Patrick and then one a more general comment to this discussion. I'm pretty sure that if I wanted to, you know, volunteer to be helpful in all this, that Patrick Falstrom would be okay with that. So ESSEC could be involved, you know, I would just pick it up and move forward. I don't think there would be any issue there. So that, you know, if I could be helpful to the other charter drafters in their discussion about where we were and how they wanted to approach this, that would be fine. General comment that I would make about this issue of maintaining ownership and things like that is, I guess I had, the model that I had for myself was I was thinking, well, we should just declare success and make a recommendation about future work. As I listened to Mikey talk about, well, our charter actually says that we were supposed to do this work. I'm wondering if there's a place or a way or some kind of process that actually allows us to, and maybe this is going along with the same thing as what Bart was saying before. I think it was Bart earlier. What we want to do is we don't want to shirk this job. We don't want to shirk the future work. But what we're doing is, I think one of the things that we can declare as a success point is that we have learned a lot over the couple of years that we've done here, and we've gotten to this point where we put these risk scenarios together. And so we've not only learned a lot about that and divided up the work now into five definite parts and really do believe that those things should be done, that's what we were chartered to do, we can also take a step back and say that we also know that we've been paying attention to what's been happening around us. We're not just sort of taking an assignment and going blindly forward. We're also keeping tabs and tracking what's going on, and we've observed that, you know, there's an opportunity here to maybe reevaluate the context of this work and perhaps even some of the details of what we might do going forward. So, you know, one of our success points is to declare that We think that the overall scope should be reevaluated in this larger context. We've gotten to where this is where we were, what we were told to do. While we still think that this work is important, we also think the scope of this work should be reconsidered in this broader context. And so we're specifically asking that to happen, and we want to take this breakpoint to separate the work into two parts and insert a step in there first. I don't know if that's helpful or not to this discussion, but you know, maybe that's a way to put these pieces together and make this look good. I don't know. So let me stop there.
Brian? Jim, this is Bart and Mikey. Yeah. I think what there is a section in the charter, say, if you interpret it a bit widely, it's section 4 in the charter. It's about omission in on all unreasonable impact of charter, it's called. And it states, in the event this charter does not provide guidance and or the impact of the charter is unreasonable for conducting the business of the DSSA working group, the co-chairs of the DSSA shall decide if they think the charter needs to be modified. So this allows, yeah, and modification could even say, okay, we've done what we've done, or scope needs to be revisited. So, and then it continues, in the event it is decided that the charter needs to be modified to address the omission or unreasonable impact, the co-chairs may propose to modify the charter. A modification shall only be effective after adoption of the adjusted charter by the participating SOs and ACs in accordance with their own rules and procedures. So, say, based on this one, you could propose that, say, we've done what we can do under these circumstances without, and we could move forward, but we run the risk of overlap and the environment has changed, as Jim said. So it is time to revisit if the SOs and ACs really want us to continue to move forward on this path of developing all scenarios with the risk of burnout of the volunteers.
Yeah, Mikey, this is Julie. If I could just chime in with what Bart has just said, looking at the charter. The charter does also have in Section 5 the option for the DSSA to be dissolved. It can be dissolved upon receipt of the notification of the chairs of the SOs and ACs, as foreseen in Section 2.4. 2.4 talks about the delivery of a final report, or as directed jointly by the participating SOs and ACs. So at any point in time, those SOs and ACs that have chartered this working group can decide to disband the working group under whatever, you know, for whatever reasons they decide, you know, jointly, you know, together decide to do. But one process point I want to mention is that, you know, we did not manage to get on the GNSO Council's agenda in Prague. And I do think that at the very least we need to present this report and any recommendations from this group or from the co-chairs to the council, and I think we could probably do this as, you know, sort of a two actions. In that, I mean, together, meaning that we could, you know, get on the agenda of a council meeting. I'm afraid it's going to be too late for the council meeting this Friday. The agenda for that meeting is pretty full, but we could get on the next one. I do think we really do need to at least put this some way to the council. I know you're reluctant to do that, Mikey, but I think process-wise, I think they need to have it in front of them and understand and be given an option of what to do with it. And it might simply be that, you know, that the working group asks for, you know, this particular group to be disbanded and for the council, you know, and for the co-chairs to decide on how the rest of this work should be, you know, should be carried out. I think there really is a big question here as far as exactly how would the work now be, you know, continued. And I agree with everything that everybody has said so far, and this I won't add to it. But process-wise, I also agree, I think, two things that I think would be very helpful to get some guidance from the original charterers, from Chuck and Cheryl and Chris, to get a sense of what they think we should do. I think Chuck would probably say, well, we very definitely need to get this in front of the council and have them think about it as well, in which case I think, you know, we need to have some, you know, some kind of, you know, presentation or connection there with the council.
Yeah, I think I'd be inclined to wait to get in front of the council until we've kind of run through some of these earlier steps, you know, this next steps chunk that we're working on right now.
And I think that's completely appropriate, Mikey, I agree. And like I said, we don't have an opportunity to get in front of them at their next meeting, so I think we have some time to get this teed up and, you know, worked through in the way that, that the working group is comfortable with before we go before them.
Yeah.
This is Bart. I think if the co-chairs would decide to go to the participating SOs and ACs, they have to go back to all of them at once.
Right.
And I don't know about at large, but I don't know if Olivier can chime in. I know the first CCNSO council call will be somewhere in the end of August. So we have plenty of time.
Yeah. And actually, that even I've forgotten when the next GNSO is, but that sounds about right for them as well. They're usually on.
Right. It will be 3 weeks after this one on Friday. So, yes, in
yeah. And if you really want to do it properly, and I think it's something to celebrate the success as well, is why not wait until Toronto? Because then you can tidy up everything you want to tidy up properly.
Well, there's another question, too, that I'll just throw into the mix, and that is generally with GNSO Council documents, in addition to presenting documents to the Council, the council often then directs the working group to put those documents, put a document out for public comment. This document has not gone out for public comment, and I would just ask the co-chairs to consider whether or not that's something they want to do.
Well, I had always imagined that we would. Olivier's here. Good deal. And so I think that I think there's two fundamental questions. First, there's a lot of process stuff to work out. That's fairly straightforward. I think the fundamentalist question is, do we want to pay attention to this natural break in the process? And I think the answer is yes. I would sign in on that as well. I think to ignore it and to just churn ahead is a bad idea. I'm not quite so sure about going totally on hold, partly because I know how hard it's going to be to get something like this spun up again if it's ever needed. And so I think it would be a good idea for us to think about ways that we could keep the continuity going so that if we needed to light it up again, we didn't have to take, you know, it took us a year to get this thing spun up. If we take it all the way down to end, you know, as Julie's pointing out we could do in Section 5, that's a different decision than going on hold in my mind, because so far I haven't seen any other mechanism in ICANN to do the kind of work that we're chartered to do. You know, I think once the board committee thing gets further along, we may see that, but You know, one of the things that emerged from Prague for me was in conversations with people about that. You know, on the one pager there were three diagrams. There was five risk areas. There was the methodology, but on the left side was the who does what page. And what emerged from Prague for me was a pretty strong interest, especially from folks like Chris, to figure out who does what. You know, we made that list, but we never placed people on that diagram because we realized that that's a pretty complicated thing. And I'm wondering if we could use the intervening, you know, hold time to answer that question better and reach out to all those groups that we listed, registries, registrars, FIRST, IETF, I'm doing this from memory, but there was this giant pile, DNSOR, and at least get a better sense of who feels like they either should be doing which parts of that diagram or want to do which parts. And so I'm not quite there yet on putting it to sleep. And I'm certainly not there on ending it. I get the burnout problem for sure. But at the same time that we've got a bunch of burned out people, Olivier is saying that there are other people, at least in the at-large community, who want to join the gang. And I think that that's the case in the GNSO as well. It's not that the GNSO lacks volunteers. It's that the ones that we've got have all gotten promoted. So, you know, Matt Serling is one of our GNSO participants, but he's now the vice chair of the, I can't remember what he is, but anyway, he's got a new job as in the registry constituency. He just doesn't have the cycle to spare. So I'm not quite comfortable with putting us to sleep yet. That's part of the reason I'm lobbying for circle back to the elders cycle. This is sort of the first time for me on this, so I have to kind of think about it for a while. And part of the thing is that I'm pretty invested in this. I spend a lot of time on it, and it may be that I have to step back from my own investment of time and energy and sort of let it go. But at the same time, I am a little worried that we haven't really done what we were chartered to do. And I don't really like that headline yet. I mean, in a way, what we're doing is we're writing the press conference talking points that say, well, yeah, we didn't really do what we did, but here's why. And I get that. I'm just not sure that I'm comfortable. Sorry to be... Oh, Olivia, you got your hand up. I don't know how long you've had it up. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Thanks very much, Mikey. It's Olivia for the transcript. Can you hear me well?
Yeah, you can.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, I've caught glimpses and parts of the conversation in between getting a body scan and x-rays and everything that someone has to go through when going through an airport. I've followed the conversation. I understand the next steps are what we're looking at the moment, and having finally been able to turn on the Adobe Connect, I think that the list that I see there, the Get Back to Charterers and other SSR leaders, and then invoke Section 4 of the Charter, evaluate the context, and then going back to the SOs and ACs is probably the way I would support moving forward. Closing the work now is something that really leaves me having had the first, as I say, you know, the entree but not the main course yet, and certainly far away from the desert, or dessert rather than desert, sorry. And two S's, not one. And so I'm a little concerned about pulling the plug now, having done all that work. I totally agree with you. Now, if there are people that are feeling some burnout, perhaps one can even out maybe the work rather than having it on a weekly basis, maybe on a bi-weekly basis. But certainly getting back to the charterers is one thing that we should go to find out what their vision was. I understand the context has changed, but the threats are still there. And the methodology has now been devised. I'd really like to see a few case scenarios of finding out if that methodology is just empty air or whether this is actually something that can work. And certainly the need for methodology to assess the threats and so on is something that's ever more important today than it was ever before, especially when one looks at the various threats that we have thought about and that are starting to materialize, both on the technical basis but also non-technical and political. So I hope I've been clear on that. If I haven't, then I'm of course happy to answer questions or make it clearer. Thank you.
Thanks, Olivier. We're starting to run down to the end of the hour here. Let me ask a very near-term process question. We've got a call coming up on Thursday with the whole group. And we need to pause to reflect a minute what we're going to do on that call. My inclination would be to continue this same discussion with that group and ask them, because to a certain extent, what we're dealing with is overlap, but the other big issue is the volunteer burnout one, and what better group to ask than the volunteers themselves. Is that okay with you all if I went ahead and pretty much made this the focus of the Thursday call, or are you uncomfortable with that?
So this is Jim. Can I comment?
Sure. Go ahead.
So I guess when I was thinking about this and wanting to raise it up here, this discussion, I initially was more hopeful that, you know, this group could come to a consensus on, you know, had a shape what I was proposing and thus have a single uniform view to present to the group for discussion. I'm a little nervous about, you know, too many cooks in the pot, so to speak, on this particular issue, but, you know, whatever the group here decides to do is fine with me. I suppose my first inclination would be to pick this up again next week for ourselves, but I certainly won't get in the way of taking it to the full group on Thursday if that's what people want to do, and I'll be there to participate too. So, thanks.
I think the tricky bit is what else there is to take to the other group. I mean, I suppose one of the things we could do is cancel that call and just say, well, we're working hard in the ops group. You're welcome to listen to the transcript if you want to hear what we're working on. But rather than soak up a lot of your time.
Mikey?
Yeah, go ahead, Mark.
I think, say, looking at it, say, we got 3 out of the 5 co-chairs on this call. Mark and Jörg aren't here yet. Probably, say, Jörg is on holidays. I don't know when he will be back. I don't know if Mark is on holidays or something else. But my advice would be to first build, yeah, and maybe have even with the co-chairs a chat with the charterers. And then based on that, try to present a view or different set of views to the full working group. Because I think this is, it's very easy to get distracted. And I wouldn't be surprised if there will be only a few working group members on the call on Thursday. A lot of, especially the Europeans, will be on holidays.
Yeah.
So canceling the upcoming Thursday call wouldn't be too bad.
Yeah, and I suppose that what we could do in that cancellation notice is sort of sketch out, you know, why. That, you know, I don't think that any of this is terribly surprising or secret. You know, it's it is a logical place to sort of take a deep breath, look around, see what's going on. So I wouldn't expect any conspiracy theory reactions from the group. Olivier, go ahead.
Thank you, Mikey. It's Olivier for the transcript. There's also APRIGS taking place in Tokyo this week as well. So there might be several people that will actually not be able to make it anyway. Thus, canceling that call is probably for the better.
Okay.
And I totally agree with Bart. And maybe as a matter of priority, getting back to the original charterers, getting them to comment on this, and because I don't recall having had any formal feedback from them yet. And really, that's one thing which we should really try and get. I was hoping that we would get that feedback in talks, but I haven't seen any so far.
Yeah, I spent a fair amount of time talking to Chris in Prague. I buttonholed him, you know, a fair amount of time for a board member means 15 minutes, but, you know, I did have a chat with him about it. But it wasn't formal. It was, you know, definitely over a beer. So I think with that, let me, it's 9 o'clock on the stroke, let me write up a little something and I'll circulate it to the ops list for you to review, canceling the meeting and explaining why. Make sure that I'm not too incendiary in what I say, and then I'll push that out to the list once, you know, I'll sort of give you a fixed time. You know, 12 hours from now or forever holds your peace, so we can get that out pretty quick. Does that sound like a good plan? Okay. Well, thanks. As always, it's a lively conversation, and plenty to think about. I'll see you in a week, and not on Thursday. Take care.
Natalie, thanks, everyone.
Wrap us up. Thanks a lot.
Bye.
Thanks, Mikey. Thanks, everybody. Thank you.
Thanks, Mikey. Thanks, everyone.
Bye-bye.